Hooray! Gia here. Welcome to our humble podcast, where Judy and I talk about the creative spiritual journey we call life. I am so grateful to be in this space. This podcast space where I get to share my thoughts and ideas, and also my literal space where I live in a small but wonderful dugout I call the hole, which means that right now, as I record, I'm underground. But it's all good because I'm right next to the window and light is shining on my desk. So here we are. We have officially arrived in spring. That determination is made by the equinox, not by the weather, as you may or may not have noticed, depending on your location. The equinox is the date on which the light and the dark, or day and night, are equal. The practice of watching the light from the solstices and the equinoxes in conjunction with the moon cycles is the ancient way of telling time. Our ancestors paid much more attention to what was going on in the heavens than we do. If there was going to be a clan council or trade gathering, someone might suggest that it be held in the time of the strawberry moon, and everyone would know when to gather. There was no calendar to check off the days. They had to tell time by the seasons and the moons. Isn't it kind of crazy when you stop to think about it? No clock, no calendar. Just what you could witness in the natural world to note the passage of time. This is a circular kind of time, this watching the sun and the moon cycles. The trouble comes when we try to record or keep track of those cycles. Moon time and solar time don't quite sync, which creates havoc for the calendar, which is much more linear. If you want to name the moons and then number them, they will drift away from the seasons you originally named them for. Trying to rectify a linear calendar with circular time is way too complicated for my brain. I'm glad someone else has done it, and I can simply hang a calendar on my wall and follow it. And then I can tune into the solar and lunar cycles however I want. Which leads me back to the equinox, this balance of light and dark. I have asked myself what, if any, significance it plays in my life and what I can glean from it. Now, let me say that the equinox has already taken place on March 19th, which means that at the time of this podcast being published, day and night aren't equal anymore. But we are still in a time of relative balance, and we are still within the space between the March and April full moons, which became significant to me as I planned this podcast. So let me talk about the moons for a moment. Traditional names for the March moon are the Crow Comes Back moon, Eagle moon, Goose moon, Snowcrest moon, Sore Eyes moon, Sugar moon, and Strong Wind moon. As I considered what symbolizes the March moon for me, I noticed that several of the ancestral moons were named for birds. I love birds, and truth be told, I believe Christ loves birds as well. There are lots of references to birds in Scripture. Listen to a few. He shall come as an eagle. Consider the ravens. All the fowls of heaven made their nests in his boughs. And about the sparrow. Not one of them is forgotten before God. This made it easy for me to name the March moon for a bird. The question was, which bird represented March to me? I decided to check with what I call my Wildish Woman journal to see if I had noted any March birds in the past. In this journal, I write in third person about the woman, which is my humble attempt at an artistic voice. Work with me, okay? Here I write my thoughts about the desert and life and the natural world. This is my entry for March 8, 2022. The woman watched the raven scavenging from the dumpster, so intent on her business. Check here, fly there. Did the raven notice that the town was filling up? That the tourist season was beginning in earnest? Was this a good thing? Would it mean easier scavenging? The woman didn't know. What she did know was that she liked watching the ravens. That cinched it for me. The March moon would be my raven moon. I'm sure I will find other reasons to talk about ravens more in future podcasts, but just briefly, I want to say that I love ravens. I first became aware of them while working as a river guide in the Southwest desert during my 20s. Then I saw them in Alaska and in the mountains of the Sierra. I think it's so cool that they can live just about anywhere. Ravens have kind of a bad rap being black. It's like being a black cat, and Edgar Allan Poe didn't do them any favors with his, quoth the raven nevermore. But mythology sees the raven differently. They represent intelligence and overcoming obstacles. They traverse the dark, always finding the light, and reminding us of the connection between earthly existence and the divine. I love the little magic and mystery they give me. Thus, I have embraced the raven moon. So now let's talk about the April moon. Stay with me here. It's all going to tie back into the equinox. Traditional names for the April moon are breaking ice moon, broken snowshoe moon, budding moon, frog moon, that's a fun one, grass appearing moon, when the ducks come back moon, when the geese lay eggs moon, and the pink moon. Did you notice there are more bird moons again? This got me excited because it gave me permission to choose another bird name. And in my mind, there is only one choice, and that is the hummingbird. In April, hummingbirds return to my valley. You want to talk about a magical creature? Let's talk about hummingbirds. Did you know that hummingbirds only live in the Western Hemisphere? I never knew that. That means no hummingbirds in Europe, Asia, or Africa. Sorry, Judy. It's strictly a bird of the Americas. Hummingbirds are more air than anything else, from hollow bones and feathers to 9 lung-like sacs in their bodies. These tiny creatures can fly like no other bird and bring to our minds the idea of freedom and flexibility. They are also fierce little creatures and will attempt to gouge the eye out of an intruder. Their bodies reflect light like flying jewels. I love it when it's warm enough to meditate outside in the mornings. I don't even have to see the birds to know they are there. I can tell by the sound of their wings. They make me so happy, like tiny messengers of joy. So the name I have picked for my April moon is the hummingbird moon. Now, I picked these two moon names purely for the reasons I just explained. But as I looked at them, I began to feel that it was meant to be. I love the juxtaposition they propose. The raven, dark, heavy, mysterious, versus the hummingbird, light, happy, joyful. I thought that without realizing it, I had created the effect of the equinox, dark on one hand, light on the other, and that somehow the energy of the spring season would help me find balance between the two. I kept working with this idea, but nothing was coming together for me. Then the other day, as I was writing in my Wildish Woman journal, I discovered what I was really experiencing. Here's what I wrote. March 27th, 2024. It was spring, a time of balance between light and dark. Yet the woman felt an imbalance. One morning snow on the cliffs, the next blue sky and sun. Was the earth wobbling, looking for a balance of its own? Yes, of course. That explained everything. The woman was comforted. She wasn't wobbling alone. What do you think? Have you experienced this? Your mind telling you what is going on in the world around you, but you have to admit that you are actually feeling something different? I believe our bodies, even when we aren't particularly in tune with our natural surroundings, respond to the earth. We go through the same cycles the earth does. Listen to this quote from Elder Joseph W. Sitati. From his talk, Patterns of Discipleship, he said, "This morning our 2 children and 3 grandchildren in North America, and about half of the world, saw the brightness of the sun rising majestically in the east. The other three children and seven grandchildren in Africa and the other half of the world saw darkness gradually creep upon them as the sun sank over the horizon in the west. This timeless consistency of the onset of day and night is one daily reminder of the realities that govern our lives that we cannot change. When we respect and align what we do with these eternal realities, we experience internal peace and harmony. When we don't, we are unsettled and things don't work out as we expect. End quote. I know he was talking about daily cycles here of day and night, not seasonal cycles, but I think they are closely related and that as we respect and align ourselves with what is happening in the natural world and the natural laws we live with, we will have more peace and harmony. I love this. I thought that by working with the spring energy, I would find balance, or that at least it would be easier to come into balance. But by tuning into what was going on in the natural world around me, I discovered that with the raven in one hand and the hummingbird in the other, that it was okay to wobble. The earth, which has much more strength and power than me and has had much more experience than me, is in the same state of flux. I'm not alone. Hooray! I may not have to tell time by what is happening in the heavens anymore, but I find great comfort in syncing my calendar, my sense of time, with the seasons and what they have to teach me about myself and how to deal with life earthside. That's my message. That is what I learned from the spring energy and where my creative spiritual journey has taken me. Where is it taking you? Judy will share her thoughts next week, and I will be back in 2 weeks, where I plan to talk about something other than tuning into the seasons, or at least not so much about the seasons. You can hold me to that. See you then. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with a friend and leave us a 5-star review. In the meantime, feel free to wobble. Namaste.